Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Because did you watch the Eurovision last night? Well, it was a bitter disappointment as Irish entry Wild Youth failed to qualify for the grand final of Eurovision 2023 in Liverpool. So, with questions being asked today about what it takes to be successful at the international competition, we're going to discuss who are some of the favourites this year and indeed what it takes to impress audiences these days. Critic and broadcaster Scott Bryan joins us for more on this. Scott, before I come to yourself, first we have a clip. Because given that Ireland have only qualified twice in the last 10 years for the Eurovision final, Michael Keely, who's RTE Eurovision head of delegation, was asked a little earlier on the Ray Darcy show about how he felt about his role in the competition.
And I'll do it as long as RTE want me to do it, because obviously they're the ultimate employers. But all I'd say is, you know, I'm not the most popular person on social media among some of the fans, but I always think of it as something like, a bit like, you know, if I can torture an analogy here, but a bit like a run-down train running on a poorly maintained track, and it's always late, you know. Now, is getting rid of the driver going to fix it? Or do you invest in the infrastructure to improve the actual train itself?
Well, Scott, you were there last night. Before we get to what Michael was talking about there, it is a bitter disappointment, isn't it? I know Wild Youth were saying they have said they're devastated to be out of the competition.
Yeah, no, they really are. And of course, I mean, it's the goal to be performing at Eurovision, but you kind of want to make it to the Saturday. And of course, to the 160 million people who are watching then. But I really think that the odds were kind of stacked up against them. It was an incredibly competitive first semi-final. I mean, the way that it's drawn, a lot of the countries in those two semi-finals are drawn at random. And not only were Ireland and next to some heavy sort of players that are expected to do well, they were also playing against two of the sort of tipped winners, Finland and Loreen from Sweden. And I think if you look at the hype and you look at the odds of who is sort of favourite to win, I say about 8 or 9 of those bands are ones that were in the same draw alongside Ireland. So I think, unfortunately, if Ireland were actually in tomorrow's semi-final rather than Tuesday's semi-final, I do reckon that they actually would have probably gotten through, because the first semi-final was seen to be a lot more competitive than the second. But it's the case, I feel, okay, like Eurovision's really stepped up a gear when it's come to a lot of their entries.
So if I was to ask you then if it was a fair decision, I suspect what you're saying is it was fair because the competition they were up against, it was just unfortunate.
Exactly. I mean, you're against Norway by Alessandra, Queen of Kings even. You've also got Croatia with their completely absurdist performance that really has to be seen to be believed. You've kind of, Eurovision at the moment, I think, is pulling in two different directions. You've got songs that have fantastic songwriting, phenomenal presence, and would be selling, I think, a great deal amount of records if they were never even tied to Eurovision, if they were just released commercially. And also at the same time, you've also got the traditional random nonsense, those real out there performances that also kind of get a lot of eyebrows raised, and that gets a lot of votes too. I think with Ireland, they were kind of in the middle between those two points. So the two styles of performances, Ireland's not really sort of fitting within. So you're sort of thinking, you know, where can Ireland go next? Does it more lean into the traditional silly side, or do they really go back to the drawing board and think about a record that actually, a bit like Mae Muller and with the UK entry, could be a popular hit any time of the year?
And what would you suggest? Could you answer that question?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that, like, if you look against some of the other competitors taking place on Saturday, the ones that have gotten through, you've got one like Israel. I mean, it is a phenomenal performance by Noah Kirel. She ends up shouting to the audience, "Do you want to see me dance?" And then she ends up doing the most ridiculous floor dance sequence that you've ever seen. Alongside that, automatically through, because of how the weird way the Eurovision works, you've got France with Evidemment by Lazara. She's essentially towering above the stage. She's like, she's 30 foot high, and she does an exquisitely kind of really addictive electronica sort of song that I think will really sort of catch well, that's been tipped to do so well too.
Do you know what, Scott? Do you know what? I've been jotting down the words you've been using about the successful entries so far, and I've jotted down absurd, random nonsense, ridiculous, weird. Yeah. Is that the road we should go down then?
It's a possibility. I mean, I wouldn't always recommend it because, remember, it can backfire spectacularly. I mean, I only need to say well, dust in the turkey.
How dare you?
But also at the same time, I mean, you can really have sometimes a performer who really kind of knows how to get Eurovision on their side. You know, it's not just about the performance on the night. I sort of see it bizarrely. Like I'm sort of a political campaign. All of the weeks of run up, you've really got to have a presence on social media now. You really have to have a bit of airplay. And I think the reason why the UK did so well was not just a song by Sam Ryder. It was the fact that everybody knew him. He had such a warm personality. And I think everyone was really kind of used to his style and the approach. So naturally, before the song was even played, you knew that he had a big fan base. So I think sometimes you have to work out, do you want to support somebody who's up and coming, who really loves Eurovision, lives and breathes in it, or do you want to go with a more established artist who maybe already has the fan base? Because a lot of the people performing in Eurovision already have huge fans back in their own country.
Okay, so that might be the key. Or John and Cavan has another idea. He's texted us to say it's time to scrap this spectacle. Zero benefits to the country. It's futile in the extreme. Is it just time to throw in the towel?
Well, I mean, this is something that the UK has said, of course, for many years. And of course, if you said 2 years ago that, of course, circumstantially, you know, we're hosting on behalf of Ukraine, but the reason why the UK is hosting on behalf of Ukraine was because the UK came second. And if you said 2 years ago that it would be within Liverpool, people would think that you were absolutely joking. It only takes one good year to turn around, you know, in the many years of unsuccess. Mm. And I think that each country, genuinely, each country has peaks and troughs, years where they don't really know what's going on, or decades, and then it can swing back in their direction. So never say never. And also, it's a big TV event. It does really well in Ireland with the TV ratings. So why would you get rid of participating with a show that actually RTE are very happy to air?
You know, I think you're dead right, Scott. I think if we got like through next year and then maybe ended in the top 10 or something, you know, or even whisper it in the top 5, I think the enthusiasm for the competition would be, you know, quite dramatically different. And it's still pretty high even as it is. Speaking of which, who are the favourites to win this year then?
So a couple of the ones I've mentioned already, really. Loreen, just a phenomenal performer. You might have seen her. She looks like she's in a giant panini press that she pushes apart. You've also got Karaja, who is like from Finland. Absurdist nonsense is a mixture between cha-cha dancing and metal and rap. There's a couple of outsiders. Israel, I think, is expected to do really well. France is expected to do really well. And as for tonight's sort of semi-final, keep an eye on Austria. They have a song called Who the Hell is Edgar? And it's about a fantastic satirical song about the lack of money that artists get from the likes of the big streaming music sites. Hmm. And they say the lyric 0.003, which is a reference to how much money artists generally get per record every single time people play one on their phones. So very pointed, but also a quirky, addictive song. Yeah.
Okay. So they're all the ones to watch out for. I'll be watching tomorrow night, and I'll definitely be watching the final. Sure, we'll all be watching the final, whatever we might say. Scott Bryan, thank you so much for joining us with your insights into the Eurovision. You can let us know what you think to 51551.